I'm glad I'm saved most of all. Amen. Appreciate His grace on me. And I want to say it's good to be here tonight. I thank God for allowing us to be here with you all. It's been a little while, and I've missed y'all. I thought about you.
Amen.
And sir, it's good to see you.
Yes.
And I just let me tell you this a little bit. I've been back in the U.S. for just a short time, and back since the middle of January. We'll be heading back down to South America the latter part of this month, here next Tuesday. And so I've been able to get a few supplies we've been needing. And my leg, I was able to get it looked at and got a few more appointments lined up. But it's doing well. And I thank you to those who's been praying for me. God's heard our prayer and touched us and helped us. And so I thank God for that. And the work down in Brazil is at a very good time. I didn't really want to leave, but under the direction of the Lord, was able to come back and for this little moment. But God's doing some big things down there, things we've been praying for several years. I know y'all have been joined with me in prayer on some of those things.
Yes.
Church up river in Boa Vista, where member Wani, he's up in that. Well, the church is still doing great. He's not there at the church anymore. He's back in town here in a few months. We'll be studying again together. And y'all continue to pray for him. He is maturing. He's kind of got himself, find himself there in Romans 7 in that up and down battle, trying to battle the flesh and the spirit, trying to find himself maturing and walking with the Lord. So y'all pray for him when you pray. The other young man, Connie, he's sticks to me like Elmer's glue. He's just right with me everywhere I go. He's been a blessing. The pastor there in Atalaya, he's stepped out, so to speak. They still comes and preaches, but the church has had this period of transition where they're able to walk on their own. They're doing really well. Probably the most spiritual service we was in just prior to me leaving. I was very pleased with that. God's just doing the work there. The new area there in the Carajari, where we've been here most recent, God's really been kind to us there, seeing the gospel have free course. There's been some battle, you know, with some spiritual warfare in the area. And so I want to challenge you all, too, to pray for us in this manner, that the gospel have free course, that our prayers would come together in unison, and that these territorial spirits that seemingly confuse the people be sent away, that the gospel may be clearly understood. And we've seen a big breakthrough here in the last couple months or so. The people just packing out the homes and the house services, and God's really been kind there. I've seen sinners affected with the gospel, and seed's been sown, and so I'm excited about that. We've seen folks there in this one same area, this one lady, during one particular service, she wept the whole service.
Amen.
And I don't know really what all God's done in her heart, but she hadn't missed a service since then.
Amen.
And so she's not made anything public just yet, but we're willing to wait till it's the right time to allow God to bring forth His fruit when He so chooses to. And so it's been a blessing to be able to see the Lord's hand, you know, in all that. The plane was down, you know, for the larger part of this year. Was unable to find parts and a lot of stuff. Long story short, we got the plane back going. All six cylinders been changed and reworked and put back in, and it's flying now. I made one flight this year. Was able to make one prior to me leaving, and some of the villages we've been flying over for probably the last 4 years now, making gift drops and such to befriend the people. They've finally showed themselves, and I was able to see four of them standing there looking at me.
Amen.
Just prior to coming back, and what a blessing that was. And so I appreciate His grace most of all.
Yes.
The Lord has changed my life, and for many of you here tonight, He's changed yours, and that's why you're here. I appreciate the internal working of God.
Yes.
It's an inside job.
Yes.
And He starts on the inside and changes.
Amen.
And so I thank God for that.
Yes.
He's able to change anybody.
Amen.
Don't matter how deep in the gutter you've been. Don't matter what your past is. Jesus Christ is the Savior today. He's able to change you. And you'll just have to look to Him as the Lamb of Glory.
Oh, yes.
And just say, Lord, it's me. Agree with God against yourself. Repent of your sin. Put your faith in Christ. And it's an amazing transformation that God does. The miracle is really what it is. And so I thank God for that. I want y'all to really help me pray. One more thing I want to talk to you about. It's a pretty big thing, big step. I've always had radio close to my heart, even there in the Western Amazon. And there's opportunity to purchase a radio station in a little town there. It's a pretty big station. And so I've heard to the grapevine that it is coming up for sale. And I just believe that God wants us to go ahead and get this thing.
Amen.
And so it's a blessing. What sparked this flame up again, I was way out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, hours and hours walking away from the town. And I thought I was at the very last house on this old muddy road. And I said, does anybody else live out here? They said, oh, yeah, there's another couple that lives on out about another hour's walk. So I walked down the end of this trail, and at the very end of it, sure enough, there's another family living out there. And I got talking, got to introducing myself to them. And they said, what was your name again? And I said, then they call me Pastor Andre. And so I said, I'm Andre. And she said, man, that's so familiar. We kept on talking. Later, the conversation goes on, and, you know, I had a radio station of a program on the same station. And she said, yeah, I used to listen to the broadcast on Saturday mornings.
Amen.
And so that really sparked things up again. Someone that far out, that far away from the town, you know, was able to tune in. And so what a blessing that is. And so my heart's really there. I'd like to see it get up and being functioning well, working 24/7, proclaiming the gospel. And it reaches into three different countries: Brazil, Peru, and Colombia. It's a big station, and so there's even word that other ministries in the U.S. and in Canada will, once you attain a license in your hand, they're willing to come and invest in equipment to amplify the good news even further. And so I thank God for that. So it seems like things are kind of falling into place. And so I want y'all to help me pray about that. I believe I'm very confident that it's one of the steps that lies ahead for us. Got some translation stuff coming up also this summer. I want you to please be in prayer for that. So we bring the Marubos down once again, translating into their dialect. And then just to continue there in the Kajari, one thing the Lord's really helped me to see is to multiply the message. There's so few laborers in our area, and to multiply the preaching. And so as we preach to the congregation and to the community there in the Kajari, we'll be videoing that and recording that. And then putting those preaching series in and on DVD form, and then distributing those on up river into the reserve to all the indigenous communities. And so it's a pretty large project, but I'm excited about the Lord's leading in it.
Yes.
And so it's amazing what God can do through the simple obedience of the servant.
Amen.
And oftentimes we don't understand why God has us doing certain things. The obedience that God has for us may not be for that moment as much as it is for generations ahead.
Yeah.
And so it's important to be obedient unto the Lord. And so as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the Lord spoke to them over in Deuteronomy chapter 2 and said, don't let the sole of your foot go on the Moabites' land. Don't take the children of Ammon's land or Mount Seir. And so he said that he had given that to Esau as an inheritance. And so later they rise up, we'll read tonight, against Israel. But in the way they did rise up against Israel and Judah, it was for a blessing. And so So out of one generation's obedience to God turned out to be a great blessing to future generations by simply being obedient. That's a blessing, isn't it?
Yes.
And so I know there's been people to make crazy decisions, and folks would scratch their head and say, why would you do that? And you know, it's okay. If you know for sure it's what God said to do, it's a good thing just to be obedient. Obey God. You can't go wrong there.
That's right.
And if you have your Bibles tonight, we'll be looking in the book of 2 Chronicles 20. And I also want to look over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then lastly in the book of Ephesians tonight. So three little places there: 2 Chronicles 20, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then in one of Paul's epistles there, Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians 1, 2 Timothy 1, and 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Read a few key verses tonight, and then our selected reading, our text for the message God's put upon my heart for this evening is over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And so we'll read a few verses there too. Let's read first of all in Ephesians chapter 1. If you're able to tonight and can stand, I want to invite you to for the reverence of the Word of God. And we'll read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Now, to understand this church Paul is writing to, this is a church that has been started over in the book of Acts, chapter 19. And you remember now, during Paul's preaching in this place, he preached there for 2 years and some months. While he was there preaching, there was a manifestation of a demonic spirit. You remember that?
Yes.
They tore the clothes off of those Jewish men, and then there was such a large a moving of the Holy Spirit of God that. They begin to come to the streets and openly, publicly repent of their sin. And they burn their books of witchcraft. You remember this? Up to the sum of 50,000 pieces of silver. And so this is the same group that Paul is writing to. And so we find now that they, in their maturity and in their onward progression in the fullness, Paul has some things to say to them, and I'm going to pull out some things here for us tonight. I believe it'll be a help to us and a blessing. The Bible says this. Let's begin reading here in verse number 16. It's part of his prayer. He says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Paul's desire was a chain reaction, and that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would see something, that they would understand something, and in that understanding, that they would know, that there would be an increase of knowledge. concerning God.
Yes.
Now then, when we go over here to the book of Timothy here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul again writing to his young predecessor, and he says this in verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, it's interesting that Paul is writing to Timothy in confidence about what God gives and what God doesn't give. He's clear when he says God does not give us the spirit of fear. So we know now that emotion is fear is not an emotional thing. Fear comes and is rooted in a spirit. So our eyes are to be open, our understanding enlightened, and we know that we do not have a spirit of fear. Now let's take those wonderful truths and look over here in 2 Chronicles 20. I want to look here at verse number 17 and we'll pray together. The Bible says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for what you've done so far in the service, Lord. You've been so kind to us to bring us, Lord, in this place tonight. You've brought everyone here tonight. There's not no one here, Lord, that's here by mistake or by accident. You're in control of all things. We're grateful tonight, Lord, to be here with your word open and, Lord, being led of your spirit. Father, I pray tonight specifically, Lord, for sinners.
Yes.
Would you draw them to your side?
Yes.
Help them to see their need for you. Help them, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll continue, Lord, I pray, to move in their heart. I pray most of all, God, that you'll manifest yourself. Well, that you'll speak to them, I pray, on the inward parts.
Yes.
Lord, that they'll have a desire to respond to you. Now, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you'll send every spirit, Lord, that's not of you, out of this place. Lord, I pray that there'll be liberty tonight, Lord, to declare the oracles of God.
Yeah,
I confess, Lord, before you and this congregation, that I have no ability within myself. I have no intellectual inability, Lord. I'm in need tonight of a fresh touch, unction from on high. Lord, use us, I pray. Speak through us, Lord. Forgive us of our sin, our faults, and our failures. Lord, may we be fit for the Master's use tonight, I pray. I pray you touch the body now, edify the saints of God. Speak to us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying. You can be seated tonight. The Bible tells us in another spot in the Scripture, in the book of Revelation, that says the Spirit and the bridegroom say, "Come." It's the calling, effectual calling of God.
Yeah.
"Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That's what Jesus says. And He's able to take the chains off. He's able to take the burden away. He's able to cleanse the heart. He's able to save to the uttermost, the Scripture says. And we know that God is faithful and just. And He's the just and the justifier. We know that He is clearly a Savior tonight. The Bible says that He was slain. There was a Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. This is Jesus tonight. before there was ever a question, before there was ever a problem, God had already had an answer.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again.
Yes.
And so tonight we preach Christ, as Paul said. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus Himself said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
He is the way. We'll have to come to the very end of ourselves, to the very end of our thoughts, and fall wholly, humbly before God, and say, God, in an openness and a heart of repentance toward God, to agree with God what He says about you, a liar, a thief, extortioner, whatever God has spoken to you that this is the sin in your life, to repent of it, agree with God.
Yes.
And it's an amazing thing. It's a miracle that takes place. It's amazing the battle that's in the mind when God begins to deal with a sinner, isn't it? Even when God begins to speak, and when God begins to manifest that effectual call toward a sinner to come to me, to respond to me. And you know, He said over there in the book of Isaiah, in that very first chapter tonight. Y'all just hang with me. I'm trying to follow the Lord the best way I know how. Verse 18, the Bible says this. He says, come now, the Lord saying, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Speaking of a change, an inner change that only God can give. It's an amazing thing. Salvation, the miracle of the new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And it was an inward working of God. The battle that's in the mind, we see it over there in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. The Bible says that because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we see that the natural thought, the logical thought, is against God. And that we, according to Romans 5:12, are after Adam, born in this world with a sinful nature.
Yes.
That nature is against God.
Yes.
That nature is contrary to God. And so we find ourselves in a hopeless state. We have a nature that's against God. Our carnal, logical mind is against God. And yet what we find is not that we look for God, but that He first loved us. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. And so what a blessed thought, that love casteth out all fear. What I've come to find out is this, in every human being, whether you're an Indian in the Amazon, or whether you're up here in Salisbury, North Carolina, or you're in India tonight, or you're in China, or you're in an Arab country in Afghanistan, or wherever you are tonight, what we find is that on the inward part of a man, woman, boy, or girl, there is a void. Only God can fill that void. You can try to put everything you want to in that space, but only God can fill the space.
Amen.
It's a God-sized hole. Only God can fill it up. And that is in and through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Where He said there in the book of John, it's one of the most quoted scriptures that we hear in our day, even down there in Brazil. The Bible says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Yes.
And so God has a desire to save sinners.
Yes.
He wants to.
Oh, yes.
He comes after sinners. He desires sinners.
Amen.
He's searching for sinners.
Amen.
I remember talking to a fellow here just just the other day, and I was there in the village. This guy had showed up one Sunday morning as I was preaching, and he was a tourist passing through. And after the service, they said, "Preacher, there's a tourist out here." And so I walked out of the hut, me and some of the Indians, and I see this man standing out there. His name was Dovey. He was from Europe somewhere. And I said, What can I do for you? Can I help you?" And he said, "I'm looking for, I'm searching. I'm on a journey. I'm on a pilgrimage to find peace and tranquility." And I said, "You've come to the right place today." I said, "We've got it right here." And he's trying to find it in a mushroom, told me. He said, "I heard about these plants and we can mix up and snort, and somehow it brings peace and tranquility." And I said, So you're going to get some of that and bring it back to Europe with you?" He said, "That's what I'm down here for." And I said, "Man, how about that?" I said, "What you going to do when the mushroom runs out?"
"That's right. That's right. Yeah.
What you going to do when you can't find no more nothing to snort?"
"Yeah."
And I said, "Sir, you're in a search for something, but what you're really going to find out is it's the someone."
"Amen."
And long before you was looking for him, he's already looking for you.
"Yeah."
And so, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners,
yes,
Christ died for us.
Right.
And so Christ loves sinners tonight.
Yes.
That's the only kind he saved.
Right.
Sinners.
Yeah.
And so there has to be an open admittance and open agreement with God about our condition before Him. We're lawbreakers. We've broken the law of God. We've lied. We've stolen. We've cheated. We've done these things. So we say, "God, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm the sinner." And what a blessing. So coming at an agreement with God.
Yeah.
That's the kind He saves, the sinners.
Yes.
Is that a blessing?
Yes.
Now I'm glad I'm saved tonight, ain't you?
Amen.
I mean, that's how you come to me.
That's right.
Just an old sinner.
Yes.
That needed a Savior.
Yes.
And God, even in my upbringing, God protected me from accidents that would have taken my life.
Oh, yes.
Had me all along the way. Had me, you know, and just guided me. And I was connected on that night.
Yes.
The preacher had preached. I've heard him preach many, many nights before. But on that night, he spoke directly to me.
Yes.
And I thought, how does this preacher know me? How does he know what I'm thinking? How does he know what I'm going through? The truth is, he didn't know what I was going through. He didn't know what I was thinking. But God did. And he was willing to follow God in the preaching, that it affected me. It touched my heart. It made an impact on me. It pierced my heart. It got down to the very inner core of my being. And God spoke to me and said, "I want you to be in my family. Come unto me. Come." And there was a desire to just come and throw myself wholeheartedly on Jesus Christ. And he saved me. Changed me. Made me a new creature. There was a warfare going on. And in that warfare, I was afraid. I remember as those days, those times had gone on, there was such a battle going on in my heart, a battle going on in my mind about who God was, who I was, what I was needing. Could God provide for me? Could God help me? I'm in such a shape. I've done these things against Him. How would He even love me? And then to find myself in this battle, this wrestling, what it was going on. I pushed it off and was able to get home. And I just wanted to just get me out of the church house. I remember getting out of home and I'm glad I'm past that. When I got home, what I found out was God was still there, talking to me, saying, no, I'm wooing on you." And I tried to do better. I tried to make things better. The more better I tried to make myself better, the more worser I got.
Yeah.
And realized that it was nothing that I could do of my own power, my own strength to better myself. I needed a Savior. I needed someone that I could turn from my sin and turn to Him and say, "Lord, I need You. I need You." And He come down and saved me. It's been a good trip. It's been a journey. It's been a blessing. Discovering all that He gave that day. This King Jehoshaphat here, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it's absolutely phenomenal. The Bible says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So we have three enemies here coming up against Judah, the land of Israel, King Jehoshaphat, who is king over Judah. The king of Israel has just passed away. It's Ahab, back a few chapters back. And he killed and slain in battle. And so now then, these enemies, it's interesting now, it's the same enemies that Jehoshaphat's worried about. He's even in his prayer, he goes to fast before God and prays before God. And he says to God, Lord, you basically says in verse 6, you know, you can do all things. You rule the heavens. You rule the kingdoms. You bring up the kingdoms and you abase them. You command the heathen.
Yeah.
He says that you do not go before us and drive out all the inhabitants. You know, you give us this land. And then he goes on and says specifically concerning those enemies that have risen up against him concerning Mount Seir, Ammon, and Moab. He said, those are the ones you wouldn't even allow the children of Israel to destroy when they came into the land.
Yes.
You told them specifically not to touch them, not to harm them, don't slay them. And so they, in obedience, they obeyed you, Lord. And out of that obedience, now then, is this the reward we get? Is this how you're going to repay us?
Yeah.
They've risen up against us now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in bad shape here.
Yeah.
And so there's a large multitude that's gathered out on the battlefield. And Jehoshaphat is worried. Jehoshaphat is dismayed. And he's in a bad shape. He pronounced a fast. He prays. All the congregation of Judah, all the cities around, come to the house of God there in Jerusalem. They all fall on their face and pray. He confesses before God. He confesses his sin. He opens his heart before God. And God hears his prayer. In that stirring, the Holy Spirit of God comes through a Levite, a priest. And he has a message for Jehoshaphat. And this is what he said. Thus saith the Lord unto you. In verse 15, he says, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He says, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. He said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Interesting here, we find a very similar statement that Moses tells the people of God as they're also in between a rock and a hard place. They've got the Red Sea before them. They've got mountains on either side and Pharaoh and his army coming behind them. And Moses says to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There's something here that God is wanting them to see. And so he says here, to O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And then Jehoshaphat goes and he gathers all of the children of Israel. They line up in procession. His armies are there. And before them, he puts the singers and those that praise God, the worshipers, are out in front. And they begin to sing and they begin to praise God.
Yes.
And they begin to thank God for all that He's done. They believe in the Lord. And as they're worshiping God in the beauty of His holiness, it says, praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
And while they're praising God, while they're worshiping God, God, in the midst, somehow, in those three enemies of Mount Seir, the children of Ammon and Moab, they begin to fight one another. And they begin to rise up against one another. And then as the Mount Seir fights on the children of Ammon, and Moab's in the middle, and they're all in there fighting each other. And when it's all said and done, the enemy has slain itself in battle. And so Jehoshaphat, the Bible says that there were dead bodies fallen under the earth, and none escaped. They were all dead. They all killed one another. And so when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. That's an amazing little story tucked in 2 Chronicles chapter 20.
Yes.
Jehoshaphat is trying to follow God. He's a king that wants to do what God has him to do. And all of a sudden, one day, out of the blue, down in the encroaching borders, is this massive army. Massive in all ways. And as they come forward, you've got Mount Seir and all their swords and shields. And then you've got, you have the children of Ammon and Moab, and they all come down. They set up this encampment. They're not coming to just fight. They're coming to take over. They're coming to set up their own living quarters. And so with them is all their stuff. And so they're, as they march in, the multitude is great. And Jehoshaphat is so dismayed. He sees this battle. He sees what's right in front of him. And he says, "Whoa, this is too big for me." He goes to God, and God's able to calm him and speak to him and say, "This ain't even your fight. You don't even got to fight this thing. It's my fight. You just happen to be called in the middle of it." And he goes on and says, "Don't be afraid. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for I'm going to fight for you on the battlefield." And they just go ahead and worship God and praise God, trust God at His Word, and God confuses the enemy. They slay one another. And then Jehoshaphat goes down into this battlefield, and for 3 days they pick up the spoil. There's jewels, there's riches, dead bodies upon dead bodies, and they're just taken away so much that they couldn't even carry it all. And it was such an amazing blessing from God. And then they make their way back to their homes and go back to the land of Judah and Israel and continue on living. What's interesting and intriguing to me is this. Here is this battle that's on this principle in the Word of God that seemingly is just smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
There was nothing that God was doing other than bringing them a blessing.
Right.
And it was such a wonderful truth that the eyes of Jehoshaphat was opened up to be able to see what God's plan was in this moment in his life. What I find is an amazing truth. We see it over and over again in the Word of God. We find in the Word of God fantastic and this wonderful blessing. You remember in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Syria had come against Israel, and Elisha walks out on the portico, and he sees the great armies before them, and his servant comes out, and his servant says, "Elisha, you've got to see this. We're outnumbered." The man of God says that there are more today with us than there are with them. And the servant looks around and says, "Sir, I'm not seeing what you're seeing. We're definitely outnumbered." And the man of God prays a prayer, and he says, "God, open the eyes of my servant." And he sees that they are surrounded by angels upon angels, and at a moment's notice that God
was clearly with them. Can I remind you, child of God, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you every step of the way. And so here's this battle. It just pops out of nowhere, and there it is. This main, huge battle. These multitudes. And from his perspective, off the bat, it puts him in a tailspin. He's fearful. He's afraid. He's dismayed. He don't know what he's going to do. But God's saying to him, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. This is my fight. This is what I'm going to do through you. And from God's perspective, what God was doing was simply using the children of Ammon, Moab, and Seir to pack up and bring all their riches, all of their blessings, all of this spoil, all the way to Israel's doorstep and just drop it all for them. And I say, what a blessing tonight to be in this good way. That when God allows something to happen in your and in my life, when God allows something to take place in our life, there is that battlefield, and we oftentimes get so dismayed about what God has allowed to happen to us, and why this and why that, the questions come. But oh, if you can just get past the smoke and get past the mirrors tonight and understand and realize that God is using that battle to bring you a blessing. Using that battlefield to carry you another treasure, the riches and glory. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1 concerning the wonderful truths of God and that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And so those spiritual blessings come from God. They're great truths that we can rest in. They're amazing things that we can worship God in. That's factual. And that's solidifying. That's maturing grace. That we can walk in fullness and know that God is clearly able to empower us to embrace everything, anything that comes in our life, anything that comes our way. We're able to embrace that with an outlook and a knowledge that God has increased in our mind, that God has given us this truth about Himself, that He's a good God, He's a good Father, and He sees all things. And as a preacher quoted, all things work together for good. Them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. It's God in behind the scenes, working, moving, manifesting Himself unto His people.
Yes.
And when we see this amazing thing here. Now, I'm amazed when I look at myself in and under the light of salvation.
Yes.
I see God's saving grace.
Right.
I remember when God came to me. Don't you remember when He came to you?
Yeah,
that call was given, respond,
right.
Come,
right.
Come unto me.
Yeah.
And it was such a blessed call. It was such a fearful voice.
Sure.
At first, there was this fear. There was this resistance to God.
Yes,
it's like God wants to come into your house.
Yes.
He wants to visit every single room in your house.
Yes.
We're quick to say, God, have you seen the kitchen? Got it all cleaned up pretty. God, have you seen my living room? Everything's in order. You know, He's really interested in that back room back there. The one that we don't like to even go and visit. That's what He's interested in. He wants to go in that room, open that door, and see that area in your life. It's an amazing thing to see how God, in the midst of it all, desires to bring us a blessing.
You're right.
There was such a battle going on the day that God saved me. such a warfare going on in my heart and in my mind.
Yes.
And in behind.
Yes.
Even we see this example again in Saul of Tarshish going up the Damascus Road. The light come down out of heaven. And there was a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who is it, Lord?"
Yeah.
And he said, "It's Jesus Christ whom thou persecutest."
Yeah.
And then that there's this struggle in the life and the heart of this man who was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Yeah.
He was a religious man.
Yeah.
He was the top of his class.
Yeah.
He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin.
Yeah.
And he had this name to carry with him. There he struggled in that and in that battle. For the Lord said, it's hard to kick against the pricks.
Yeah.
Trying to guide him. Guiding him along with those sharp sticks saying, here's the way. This is the way to go. There's that fight. There's that struggle. I want to remind you, as the text said tonight, this battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. And it's God doing the fighting. It's God inside of your heart. It's God in your life saying yes. Simply saying yes to God. Yes to God. Yes to God. No to yourself. No to yourself. And yes to God. No to your sin. And yes to God. And how that struggle, how the thoughts, the mind, it all begins to produce this smoke and mirrors, and we all we see is the battle. Or can I just say, in behind that is the wonderful gift of salvation. And behind that is a wonderful thing that God gave. And behind that is something on the battlefield where there's dead bodies laying around. I'm grateful that He slayed me. I'm grateful that the grace of God come my way. And Andrew, who used to sit upon the throne, who used to call the shots, he don't call the shots no more. He don't rise on the throne no more. He's a dead man. And in amongst those dead bodies, there was all sorts of riches and jewels and precious things. I'm still discovering all that I picked up that day on the battlefield. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I couldn't tote it all. After 3 days of going out there and saying, wow, He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. My sin is gone. I'm right with God. He changed me from the inside out. I go and pick up another piece of it and say, wow, I'm justified in His sight just as if I've never sinned. All because of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Woo, what a Savior. What a Savior tonight. Paul got to wrestling, trying to kick against those pricks, trying to say, no, it's... Can you imagine this man had a knowledge of the Word of God?
Yeah.
This man had a understanding of God's law.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing his best to keep God's way. He's doing his best to keep the law of God. He doesn't want to disobey God.
Uh-huh.
And he thinks he's doing God a favor by eradicating these Jesus followers.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to go out there and get rid of all of them. On his way to get rid of some letters in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
In the hand, the Lord spoke to him. The Lord showed him. The Lord got to dealing with him. God manifested Himself. God walked in his heart. God walked in his house.
Yeah.
Went into that room that he don't even like going to and said, you've persecuted me.
Right.
Oh, he didn't want to hear that. Not that, Lord.
Yeah.
Anything but that. Over there in Mark chapter 5, we find a man possessed with devils.
Yes,
he's got so many devils in him that his name is Legion, he says, for we're many. Jesus cast the devils out of the man.
Yeah.
They ran in the swine. The swine runs off the hillside.
Uh-huh.
They all drown the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah.
The townspeople come out there. And when they see this man clothed and in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus, the Bible says they begin to be afraid. That's amazing, ain't it? Those spirits that Jesus cast out of that man conversed with the Lord. They quickly left the man. But they desired, they besought him much, saying, don't send us out of the country. Let us stay here in the land. We've got some work to do. We know the devil's a liar.
That's right.
And the father of lies.
Right.
His mother tongue is telling a lie.
That's it.
All everything he says is a lie.
That's right.
This demoniac man has been dominated generation after generation after generation because of lies. He believed those lies to be true. He was dominated by them.
Yes.
It's amazing how that works.
It is.
That's why you've got folks in Islam that want to put a bomb on them, walk in a coffee shop and push a button, blow themselves up. They believe in that lie to be true.
That's right.
They're dominated by
That's
it.
Right.
The spirit.
That's right.
We find now that these people are afraid. We know fear now, not an emotion. God didn't give us a spirit of fear.
Yep.
So it's a sign, a window, showing us that these spirits are still in the land. Jesus sees this man. He wants to go with the Lord. He says, God, he said, Lord, I want to go with you.
Yep.
And the Lord said, no, I'm sorry. I said, I want you to stay here.
Yep.
He could have said, come on, join me, be my disciple too, and we'll go on. It would have been lights out for the Gadarene people.
Right.
The Lord left the light on.
Yes.
Left him there.
Praise God.
That's right.
Tells him two things. He says, interesting. He says, go back to your friends. Pause a minute right here. How does a man that cuts himself, runs around naked in the tombs, hollering and screaming, have any friends? Lest them friends be mingling in the same things. Same spirits. Go back to your friends, he says. Tell them two things. Tell them how good God has been to you, how God has had compassion on you. That's what he told him. Two things. We know that we combat lies with truth. The Bible says in the book of John that knowing the truth shall make you free. And so he's turned this man loose. He goes back throughout all Decapolis, 10 cities, and he's telling these two truths. God's been good to me. God's been really good to me. Look at my scars. I used to cut myself, but I don't no more. God's been really, really merciful to me. He's had compassion on me. And he goes around repeating these truths to everybody he comes in contact with. It's amazing as we see the truth that he tells, it's a window to discover the lies the spirits have been telling. God's no good to you. He's forgotten about you. After all, you never went on the Canaan land. There were the descendants of Gad. You remember? Joshua shows up on the bank of the River Jordan.
Yep.
Reuben, half-tribe Manasseh, Gad stays on this side.
Mm-hmm.
They never occupy Canaan land.
Right.
They missed out on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Never watched Goliath go down with David and the power of God. Missed out on a lot of stuff. All because of their livestock. That's why they want to stay over there. And they allowed some things to keep them from enjoying Canaan land. Let's pause here and say this. It's amazing what is in our life that keeps us from enjoying Canaan land. Spirit-filled life. This man was a problem for them. This man was an issue for them.
Yeah.
Jesus comes, takes care of their problem.
Yeah.
But he's also coming after the pigs. So they had gone so far away from God, they had slipped generation after generation after generation away from God, even breaking the Levitical law that said that a Jewish person couldn't raise pigs, they couldn't raise swine, couldn't even eat it. And here they are raising their own. You can hear the lies the enemy is saying. You've done gone too far now. God won't forgive you.
Yeah.
He won't have compassion on you. He ain't even good. Look how good he is to everybody else, but not to y'all.
Yeah.
He ain't good to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes an old fella.
Mm-hmm.
Scarred up.
Yeah.
And they look and say, that's the crazy man. He's got his clothes on. He's just yelling on top of his lungs, God's been good to me. God's had compassion on me. Look at my scars. Look at my life. God's been good to me. God's had compassion on me. He's a good God. He's a good Father. And over again. And we tonight could go home and look at our refrigerator and our clothes on our back and food and how God's provided for us over and over again. God is a good God. He's been good to us. He's been a faithful God. He's got a track record. He's been kind. He's been good to us.
Yeah.
Romans chapter number 2, verse 4, the Bible says, what know ye not that it's the goodness of God that leadeth man to repentance?
Yes.
So if God's been good, if God's been with provision, with His kindness, with His goodness,
yes,
over and over and over and over again, when God also shows up and points out little things in our life and says, that is sin. That's wrong. These pigs got to go. We can trust God. He's got a good track record. We can say, you're right, God. You know, Lord, you're right about that. And you've been good. Your track record proves that. So why would you want anything bad to happen to me? You're a good God. Here He comes again. God's been good to me. God's been good to me. He'll have compassion on you. He had compassion on me. He'll forgive you. He forgave me. He's a good God. It's Him. It's God. And those two truths combated lies, city after city, all 10 cities. They come back around. Jesus has left the shore. They sent Him away.
Yeah.
He comes back again in 6, 7, 8 months. This time when He gets on the shoreline, they lined up waiting for Him.
Yes, they did.
They're bringing sick folk.
Yeah.
They're saying, man, hey, we believe what this guy's saying about you.
Yeah.
We've chose to believe the truth over the lie.
Amen.
And it says they besought but to touch the hem of His garment. Talit, it's a prayer shawl. He's a rabbi, Jewish rabbi. What he's wearing, the outer garment, is a talit, prayer shawl. Each corner of that talit has a tassel. And that tassel is called a tzitzit. And it means wings or wing-like. And they believed in those latter words of the prophet Malachi that said, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in His wings.
Amen.
So not only was they reaching out for physical healing, but they was reaching out for spiritual healing.
Yes.
And saying, I believe that You are Jesus Christ.
Right.
We believe You're the Messiah.
Yes.
We believe You're the one that's God in the flesh. We believe in Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus walked in that place and turned the whole thing upside down.
Yeah.
And God gets glory to Himself.
Yes, sir.
The battle is over. They've gone out on the battlefield. They've picked up such wonderful treasures. The battle between the Gadarenes has produced such wonderful grace. The battlefield between the capital cities has produced such wonderful treasures. As Jesus said, hey, I'm a good God, and I will have compassion on you. He reaches out to those people, brings them into the fold. It's an amazing how God's Word is so perfect, so true. You see, Gad, all the way back up the line, Gad was a son of Jacob.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gad was a son of Jacob. Jacob prophesies over all of his kids. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Dan, all of them.
Yeah.
Even Gad. You know what he says there in Genesis 49 to Gad? He said, a troop will overcome thee, but in the end, you shall overcome. Dominated. A people group dominated by a legion of spirits.
Uh-huh.
Legion, a number, a name given to a Roman battalion of soldiers, a troop dominating this people group, dominating their lot, their minds, their thoughts, working with their depravity and their sin nature, keeping them in bonds. But truth shows up.
Yes.
Jesus shows up.
Yes.
And rights everything.
Amen.
They overcame in the end.
Fear not, little flock. For it is the will of God to also give you the kingdom. Fear that's produced. We say, I can't get right with God. There's a fear in there. I can't do it. Just, you're seeing the smoke and mirrors. Look past it and know that God has something far greater. Far greater. Far greater than you can ever imagine or think in His own Son, Jesus Christ. We'll ask the piano player if you'd come tonight. I want to give you